Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. For all my people that's hungry.
A nigga need food. You got to have food for your health and clothes. Here to keep a scene for yourself, son, shelter. A place to lay for rest when you stress over life. Cause it's strife and ain't no God.
I feel the winter heart creeping. Vicious is the wind, which is life when it's deep without a meaning. A tripe scene of screams, niggas fiending. The pipe dream is some be seeming like the only way to keep breathing in the slums. But nothing comes, and keeping funds is like dreaming. My situation, no solution. Even the young become demons. Where I'm from, shit is unyielding. Something like 300 million gun wielding. Black rats trapped in one building. With low ceilings and no feelings, cutthroat villains, dope dealings, and glossy eyes of villains, sucking faces and powder traces. My people slaves for the basics. The powerless devouring in a matrix of politics, pimps, and glass pipes. From gun blasts to flicking off blunt ass to cash heights. The fast life where the have not rule. Sick and grab plots, toting tools, making last spots for jewels around the world. You stay stuck in captives, shackled, and crackers got homes like castles. I figure the only way this nigga got to go is wild plotting it for liberation. Stock and cap staff.
A nigga need food. You got to have food for your health and clothes. Get a keep a steam for yourself, son, shelter. A place to lay for rest when you stress over life. Cause it's strife and ain't no God's own help. You need food. You got to have food for your health, for your health.
Great for knowledge, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I was born in a storm, hearing gun claps for thunder. See my childhood peers, catching years in the numbers. I wake up from hunger, try to lift the stress that I'm under. How I made it this far makes me wonder. You in a fight for your life, for basic human rights. Can't afford the booming prices, it's economic crisis. Life is a sacrifice, I'm down to my last bag of rice. They forcing us to live like laboratory mice, like fucking laboratory mice. That's right, you wear the camouflage, but do you choose to live the soldier's life? I said before, this is a war, not a play fight. Taught to be a slave from the womb to the grave site. Some of us even share the views of the Canaanites. Trying to be white, but they gon' lose in this game of life. So dead that, I tie my dread back and scheme. Put a star on my red, black, and green.
A nigga need food. You got to have food for your health and clothes. Get a keep of steam for yourself and shelter. A place to lay for rest when you stress over life. Cause it's strife and ain't no God's own help. You need food. You got to have food for your health and clothes. Get a keep of steam for yourself and shelter. A place to lay for rest when you stress over life. Cause it's strife and ain't no God's own help. You need food.
Pay the bills. Put food on the table. And put clothes on your back. You understand? Pay the bills. Put food on the table. And put clothes on your back. You understand?
What do power mean? Our team seem to think it means power cream. Cause our dreams got us fiending for the power, son. And UEP said political power come from the barrel of the gun. What do power mean? I believe in thieving and smoking weed. Everything happens for a reason. I hope my seed grow up and get even. It's open season. And if you pour it black, you know the reason. Yeah.
Out here fighting for the basics,
trying to get all we can get,
trying to get food on the table,
same.
Clothes on our back,
make sure we can
pay these bills. Shad president,
for the future.
That's to come up for us. Food, clothes, and shelter. Ain't no need to even say nothing else.
Well done.
And whatever may happen.
Hey. Welcome to another edition of Dare to Struggle Radio. I hope that you all can hear me. We broadcasting live right here from the hells and smells of North America. And it's your brother, soldier in arms, comrade in battle, brother Sean Castro Kweli. And I want you all to stay tuned. So I ask, can you hear me? Because stream went clean down as soon as we come on here. As soon as we get on, that bad boy went right on down, right? So that's how it normally goes. But you know, maybe one of you all hit me on the book, Facebook or something, let me know that we live. But got an important topic for you tonight or this afternoon. important topic for you this afternoon, and we are asking some important questions that we want people to think over, okay? We want people to think over and analyze, and then we want to be able to act on in the event that we have to, that we have to organize. We have to organize. Is it too late? The question that we are asking today is it too late? Is it too late for the black community? We've had a whole lot of men and women who have come down the wheels of time and have worked on our behalf. We got a whole bunch of men and women who have come down the wheels of time and have worked on behalf of the black community. However, it appears in 2017 at least that we have regressed, and maybe even regressed, some would say, to the point of no return. To the point of no return. Have we regressed? Have we, as a people, I'm talking, the black community, have we regressed to the point of no return? Are we so far gone that we cannot recuperate? Are we so far gone that we can't turn around and that we can't fix ourselves? Are there any examples that we have of a people who have been in our condition, similar condition, and have been able to pick themselves up from the dirt and up from the mud and up from these circumstances like what we have? Now, I don't know about you. Now, you know, I'm a pretty decent history major and student, pretty good at my history, and I'm still studying. As always, I don't know. I have not seen a people through history who've been in the kind of condition that we're in. Now, yeah, you got all types of people who have been through a lot. Really, every people on the planet have their own history. Where we've been through a lot, going through things, and had to basically fight for some type of survival and basically fight for some type of recognition and place in the sun. You got that all over the place. But I've never seen a people who have been so thoroughly robbed of their names, their languages, their cultures, the folkways, the forays, the norms, and the power of our own being, like what you're looking at with black people, the so-called African in America, or African America. Never seen it before. Never seen a people. And I don't care if you're naming from the Chicano people, if you're naming it from the so-called Indians, if you name it from the Asian, if you name it from the Islanders, any Aborigines, or anybody in any nationality from the European side of the spectrum, doesn't matter. You've never seen a people who have been robbed of their names, their languages, their cultures, their folkways, their forays, norms, and the power of our own being like this. Okay, so no matter whether we're talking about class struggle or whatever kind of struggle that you're talking about, you have never seen the people who have had to come back from the insurmountable odds like black people. Okay, so the question has to be asked now. Is it too late? Is there anything else we can do? We're talking about coming behind greats now. I mean, you can just name, call the roll. You can just name drop in terms of greats, men and women who have come down the line. I mean, and that's, I mean, we're not even talking about the freedom fighters. We're just talking about great men and women of circumstance. The Honorable Prophet Nat Turner just had a birthday the other day. You can mention Nat Turner. I mean, you can mention, of course, Ida B. Wells. You can mention Denmark Vesey. You can mention, of course, the Sojourner Truths. You can mention the Marcus Garveys. You can mention, you know, the Elijah Muhammad. You can mention Minister Malcolm X. You can mention Madam C.J. Walker. You can mention Shirley Chisholm. You see what I'm saying? You can mention Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You can mention so many that we can just name drop. They go way back and beyond those that I just named, just in reference of great men and women who have put it on the line so that our people can rise, black people can rise. And so here we are in 2017. And so in terms of the proper progression, of course, you can say, well, we don't have segregated water fountains. You can say, well, our children are able to be integrated and go to public school without necessarily being beat up and accosted like our great-grandparents were. You can say, well, we are out of the plantations of the South, and we're not picking cotton, and we're not, our people are not picking tobacco and being the human resource of the upstart of the country. I mean, there are things that you can point to that if you were going to point to certain surface progression, of course, you can point to surface progression. Now, if you get deep into freedom and independence, it's a different story. Okay, because the whole time that we've been here, we've technically been darn near wrapped up in other people's agendas and wrapped up in other people's reality. We have not, as a people, carved out for ourselves something of our own. Okay, that was, I mean, again, if you're getting back to Garvey and others, that was the whole scheme of things, was to have something of your own. And Garvey was saying strong back then, Africa for the Africans, even though he never got to go to Africa. Now, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey never got to put his foot on the soil on the mother continent of Africa. But his ideology was Africa for the African. And he pushed a reparation movement where black men and women here in the diaspora, called the diaspora, versus the continental, meaning those of us who were born here in the Western Hemisphere, you're called the diasporic African, versus someone born on the mother continent, you're called the continental African. So for those of us who were born here, who were the descendants and ancestry line from Africa who grew up here, we were called the diasporic Africans. So for those in the diaspora, he would say that we were to make a migration back to the motherland. In the meantime, in between time, his goal was to build up an economic base, a political base, an educational base, and a defensive base or posture right here in the diaspora, talking about the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. And he did that. Had his own steamline ship, no matter what its total successes or failures were, had his own steamline ship, had his own printing press, newspapers and articles and books, had his own economic dealings that he was working on. Okay, had his own institutions. And in fact, ran for one of the, if not the largest, black organization in the Western Hemisphere. I don't know if there is an organization that we have had that has matched the status and sheer size of the UNIA. The closest rival that you would probably have is the Nation of Islam. And still, there are some things that Marcus Garvey had that even the NOI don't have. So I don't know if we've had a organization or group that has matched what the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey put down. Okay, but even with all that he put down and what he had and what he was able to organize in a short period of time, I might add, in a pretty short period of time. It wasn't like he, had 50 years or 60 years or nothing like that. We're talking about a little less or more than 25 years. Okay, that's all he had from start to finish, 25 or so years, 20, 25 years. Okay, did a lot in 20 years. And so ultimately by the 30s, Garvey's movement was over. The UNIA was done. And so all that he had accomplished and all those thousands and thousands of brothers and sisters, men and women who had signed up to become members and a part of the UNIA now no longer had an organization to go to. They no longer had the red, black, and green flag that they were flying. The organization was done. Behind that, you had others who sprang up, of course. You had more science that came up. Of course, the NOI came up during that period. Others began to come up. Then later, of course, you had your civil rights movements. You had Minister Malcolm X and the OAAU and his Muslim Mosque, Inc. From that gave birth and rise to other greats like the Honorable Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael. You had SNCC, H-Rap Brown, and Bob Brown, and Mukasa, now known as Mukasa Ricks, formerly Willie Ricks, now known as Mukasa Dada. You had so many who popped up. You had the Lowndes County Freedom Organization, which was the original Black Panther Party. Then from that came the Black Panther Party from self-defense that came up out of the Bay Area in Oakland, California, with Brother Bobby Seale and Brother Huey P. Newton. We had other factions of that broke away. Okay, different types of movement. You had blah, all kind of stuff that popped up out of that. All right. And so out of all of that, and then coming forward into the modern context, the present context, out of all of that, what can we say that we have accomplished for ourselves? As a people, I'm talking. What have we accomplished for ourselves as a people? That's the question that we've got to look to and got to look into seriously if we're going to move forward in 2017, going deep now forward into 2018, because we're right now in October. And so we have to look at, we're going to have to look at the basis of sustainability and independence, the basis of sustainability and independence is, of course, land, or what they call real estate. Land and real estate. We see the Chinese build Chinatown. You see the Italians in various areas, they'll build Little Italy's. You see other nationalities will build areas for themselves, but you don't see enough of the Little Africans. You don't see Little Africa enough. You don't see the areas that are completely run by blacks in their own community. You have others who will come into the black community, and they will sell us things that they know that we use, that we buy. They'll make monies off of the black community. But in terms of those who actually are part culturally of the black community, it's too far and in between where we are not selling and doing proper economic business with ourselves. Everybody's coming in and benefiting off the black dollar. Everybody in America benefiting off of the black dollar except the majority of black people. This points to a psychological trauma. Our people, black people, my people have psychological trauma. And I'm saying this for my people and for those of you who are non-black who are listening. I want you to understand this. My people, black people, have psychological trauma. That means that, again, as I said, we don't have our original names. We don't know where we originally come from. We're not speaking our original languages or our mother tongues. That means we're disconnected. Now, most of you, whether you are Aborigines, Chicano, you know, whatever your nationality is, most of you still speak some of your original language, or you know some of your original history. You can look and find out and pinpoint geographically where your people, your culture come from. You know, you're able to have a connection to the landmass that is predominant for your own people. Now, of course, we, speaking of black people in general and really humanity, claim Africa as the birthplace and the cradle of civilization. I'm going to say that again. Africa is the birthplace and the cradle of civilization. But you don't find many in North America who know exactly where they came from unless they came already born from the continent and migrated this way. We have to get on all kind of websites, do genealogy, you know, ancestry.com checks and different kind of things to try to figure out who in the hell we are. So you're looking at a psychological trauma due to disconnection. Black people in this country don't have the proper primary frame of reference to know our own greatness and to know who we really are. We don't have it. We have lost perspective. And then been given cultures and folk ways and norms that are not our own. See, every people have their own culture. Every people have their own custom. Every people have things on this planet that are special to who they are as a people. Okay, so that's why you know, we look funny at black people running around in the Scottish kilt. And you look funny at, you know, people trying to do things that may not necessarily be a part of their cultural experience. Okay, because every people have customs that are germane to his people. So, what is our custom? What is our custom? We have different tribes or different families among the mother continent. We have, you know, we don't just have one standard way of doing things. You know, I think that gets confused. Africa is huge. It's huge, and you have various peoples, tribes, clans, families who do different things. And so just to say, well, yeah, I'm an African, I mean, that's one thing. That's one thing. But that is not the end-all, be-all at all, because there's so many different customs, customary experiences, different expectations depending upon what particular family of the geological or geographical, pardon me, landmass. So again, now back to this side of the globe, we don't know who we are. And that was a systematic effort. A systematic effort put in place to, at one particular time, keep us enslaved. Now, of course, history says that black people were not the only people to have been enslaved. Not at all. There are plenty of people on this planet who have been enslaved. But in terms of the level of brutality that our people, black people, have faced, very few instances that you can compare to what we like to call the African Holocaust. You hear a lot about others' Holocausts, but you don't hear enough about the African Holocaust. And the hell of a cost that our people paid just to be able to exist and be recognized in some fashion as a human being, just as a person. The hell of a cost that is paid, and that has been paid by those who came before us. Okay? So we don't know who we are. We don't have a primary frame of reference. We're lost in North America trying to find our way. And so the question becomes, how do we find ourselves? Again, economically, we're not pushing to ourselves, not selling to ourselves, not supporting our own enough, and not endeavoring to build enough within our own areas where we are predominant. Because we've convinced ourselves that, some of us have convinced ourselves that we can't do it. Convinced ourselves that it is impossible, that every other culture can do it, but we can't do it. Some of us have really convinced ourselves of this in the black community. That's sad. Okay? We are not teaching our own enough, and we're learning about other things that don't tell us how great we are, or what we come from, who we come from. We're learning about things that don't instill the pride that's necessary for a black man or a black woman, a young black male, young black female, to be successful in this world. You go right now to the public education systems of this country and you learn fast about how great George Washington was and how great Christopher Columbus was. How great it was to be associated at one point with different kings and queens of England. And you learn all of this colonial education, you know. But when you take a picture, you know, whether you was back in the day and took Polaroid pictures, or whether you are here today using your cell phones and digital pictures, whenever you take a picture. I don't care what your culture is. The first person, the first thing you look for is yourself in any picture. So that means if it's a historical picture or whatever the kind of picture it is, you're looking for something that relates to you. And if it's a direct picture of you, you are looking for you in the picture. I don't care if there's 10,000 people, 20,000 in the picture. It makes no difference. You look for yourself. So every other culture understands to look for itself. In any instance, they're looking for themselves socially, psychologically, economically. Looking for themselves, looking for a way to benefit self. And if they're connected to a landmass on this planet, they're looking for a way normally to benefit their people on their continent or their country too. So where does that leave us? If we are not connected to our continent, I'm talking to black people, my people. If we are not connected to the continent, if we are not looking to find ourselves, if we're not looking to benefit our people, then how are we ever going to be properly elevated to the status of greatness like other cultures do for themselves? There's no way. So again, is it too late? We've been here now for 500 years in total, over 400 years, about 500 now in total. Five centuries. We've been here under these types of conditions, obviously. We've been here longer as a people, the longest people to ever live on the planet are the original black people, the original black man and black woman. Ain't no doubt about that. We are the longest people on the planet. And our carbon dating goes back beyond any other people's carbon dating. That's just the scientific facts of the matter. We are the first people on the planet. But being the first people on the planet does not put us in first position during these times. It does not put us in the position that our ancestors and those who came before us were in at one point as quote unquote kings and queens and rulers over the planet. Because we don't know who in the hell we are. So is it too late? Is the mental psychosis so deep? Is the mental psychosis so thick? Is the mental psychosis so rough that it cannot be cracked? That is the question everybody who is concerned about black people is asking. And wants to know, because there are many who have given great efforts to raise us and pick us up out the mud. You know, the Masons talk about the lion's paw. Many who have come trying to pick us up as a people and get us up as a people. The scriptural preachers talk about Lazarus and Lazarus being a parable of the people laying at the rich man's gate who won't get up. Is it too late? Well, it could be if the vision is not there. If we don't have the proper vision, it could be if you only go off of what you see with your own eyes. It could be. But if you have the ability to see beyond your present circumstance, and if we have the ability to see beyond our present circumstance, we have a chance to pick ourselves up. That means, brothers and sisters, men and women, that we have to believe in the people, and I'm talking particularly today to black people, we have to believe in black people more than black people disbelieve in themselves. Because you better bet your bottom dollar, black people don't, in general, believe in ourselves. We believe in everybody but us. And we believe that everybody can do except for us. We don't have enough examples of us getting it done. So we have to be now, as far along as we are, all these centuries along as we are, now we got to be re-educated. That's what I said. We got to be re-educated. We got to be retrained. We got to be redeveloped. We got to be made into a whole new creature, to a whole new person with a new mentality, because that's where it starts. I hear a lot of the people, you know, talking about we need change. You know, we got to have change. You know, some of you out there say, you know, we got to change the system. The system got to change. But God damn it, the first system that got to change is the system in your mind. You got to change the system of your mind. All you looking at, whether it's an impoverished condition or the impoverished condition of the black community, you're looking at a system of mind that has not yet been changed or groomed to know that it is successful, that it's powerful, that it's mighty, that it can do whatever of good is contrived and conceived in its own mind. You're not changing your system of your mind. You're so worried about changing the order of white supremacy and systemic racism. So focused. We give systemic racism and white supremacy so much power and so much energy, it consumes most of our minds. But you're not concerned with infusing yourself and those around you in your community to rise above our present condition. And so you never make the progress that you're supposed to make because you're not focused on you. You're focused on racism and white supremacy, which technically is an illusion. Technically is an illusion. Yes, there are people who hate black people simply because they're black, simply because we're black. Of course, it's been that way for five centuries. You cannot develop an entire country, nation, economic system and order and social construct off the backs of a whole people and that not be a product of hatred is impossible. It's impossible, especially if you don't share the wealth and the resource with that people. It is impossible to not have it a product of hatred when you build on their backs. Of course, there are people that don't like us because we're black. Or they don't like black people because we're black. And it ain't just white people. It's all kinds of people on this planet that don't like black people. We know that. That's really called prejudice. That's called prejudice. But when you're talking about racism, racism is, get this now, get this, pay attention to this. Racism is prejudice plus power. It ain't just prejudice alone, me prejudging you based upon a phenotype or based upon your hair texture, based upon the hue or lack thereof of your skin. That's not what racism is in full definition. Racism is prejudice plus power. That means that I have the ability to hold you back. I have the ability to incarcerate you. I have the ability to derail your progress and stifle your freedom based upon my prejudice through the inaction of laws, statutes, policy, and structure. That's real racism. Everybody prejudges to some point, maybe based upon your own historical experience with a thing or a person or people. Everybody makes prejudgment. Even using your five senses, you're going to judge things. Okay? Racism, though, prejudice plus power. Okay, so we know that there are people that don't like us and don't like blacks. You know, there are those in the white community, there are those in the brown community, there are those in the red community, those in the yellow community, and those even in the black community that don't like black. We know that. But we're so focused on racism and white supremacy that we're not giving enough of our time, talent, and effort to pick ourselves up. So what do we do? What do we do to pick ourselves up? Well, the first thing is you got to want to get up. You have to want to get up. You got to want to clean up. You got to want to wake up. You got to want to stand up. If you don't want to do it, it's not going to happen. And that's a mistake that I see so many who are quote-unquote woke or conscious making, is that you're trying to force someone who doesn't want to wake up, force someone who doesn't want to be conscious, force someone. You're trying to force people instead of being the example, setting the example, and exemplifying what it means to be awake and what it means to be conscious of what's going on. Being awake and being conscious has to be more than just going back to wearing your hair in a natural or putting your fist in the air saying black power. Being awake and conscious has to be more than simply saying black is beautiful. Being conscious means to know what condition we're in. What is our position in the battle? How far behind the eight ball are we? And what do we got to do to get in the proper position, or as some like to call it, the vanguard position, in the front? Talking to black people here, what do you got to do to get in the front? Some have taken the corporate route, and you believe that if you go corporate, if you're in corporate America, you can get into the CEO position in corporate America, and that's all that it takes. We got some CEOs that are black in America, and that has not proven to have raised us to where we need to be raised to. Some of you want to get into the politics of America, and you say, if I can just become a Democrat, if I can just be a Democrat, that's all I got to do. Others of you have taken a different route. And you say, well, if I can just be a Republican, all I got to do is be Republican. And we have learned over these five centuries that you and me and us and we have not risen to the level that we need to rise to, being Democrat or Republican. Some of you have said, well, all I got to do is just get my money on. I'm just going to be a straight black capitalist. I'm going to be a capitalist and get my capitalism on. And with all this black capitalism, you see that our people have not risen the way that we need to rise. So that shows you, again, it's not a about the political party or affiliation that you choose to be with in parts of the mainstream. It's not about whether you have triple the amount of zeros you have in your bank account. It's about the mentality. It's about your mindset. Because some of us out here can do more with $5,000 than you can with $50,000. I'm going to say that again. As those of us out here, myself included, who can do more with $5,000 than some of you can do with $50,000. Because most of you are not free. And when you get your $50,000, you are not going to do for the black community what we'll do with $3,000 and $4,000 or $5,000. You ain't going to do it. So the solution here now becomes that we have to teach our own, train our own, and get disciplined again. Because in order to properly be able to control our own communities, that's what Garvey was talking about, and be able to control our own education, our own politics, in order to control what happens in terms of the self-determination of black men and women in this country, we got to be able to have some discipline. You ain't going to be able to do none of this. You ain't going to be able to move forward without discipline. You ain't going to be able to get nowhere in this country or anywhere else in the world without discipline, brothers and sisters. That means that we got to do the exact opposite. I'm going to say it again, the exact opposite of everything that made us slaves in the first place. See, I keep talking about slavery, and some of you don't like to talk about that. You'll look at Schindler's List, and you'll learn all about the Jewish community's Holocaust. You'll learn about what others have went through, but you don't like to talk about it. You don't like to remember about our people going through slavery. But the reason why it is so important is because that was the moment that the connection with your original self was broken. The moment your connection with your original self was broken was when our people were kidnapped, forcibly taken from our mother continent and brought westerly. Okay? So, broken from your original continent, broken from your original name, lost yourself. You have to talk about slavery to know now what happened to your people and how we got to where we are. See, when the Jewish community went through what it went through, when it went through what it went through, they came up with a statement that I can agree with 100%. They say, never again. See that? When they went through what they went through, when the Jewish community went through their Holocaust, they said, never again. Black people have not defined our never again. We have not defined that. Matter of fact, we are still repeating the history and repeating the cycles over and over and over again. Now we have internalized the hatred so much, we've internalized it to where now we try to do it to ourselves. Now you don't have to necessarily worry about the Knight Riders and the Ku Klux Klan, and you don't necessarily have to worry about some of the things that they were initiating and instituting when they were trying to keep you in a physical servitude of slavery. Now being mentally enslaved, now we crack the whip on our own backs and behinds. Now we work to keep ourselves on the plantation. Don't even try to get free. You don't even try to run. You don't even try to pick the lock and get away. Now you keep yourself enslaved. That's a mental trauma. And anybody with that kind of mental trauma must know that he or she must be freed. Must be freed. You cannot leave a people alone like that who don't know themselves, who got brothers and sisters out here across this country who don't know themselves. And your ancestors put it on the wall and said, know thyself. You don't know who you are because you have not been taught who you are. You still think you're everything that white America and the mainstream has said that you are. Less than a human being, 3/5 of a human being, a dog, a Negro, a nigger, a colored person, and all this, you think you're that. But you're none of that. The first people to ever walk in the light of the sun, the first people to organize the planets, the mothers and fathers of civilization is exactly who we are. But we just don't know it. So we have to get free. So when you look at all of the programs, whether it's the UNIA, NOI, Black Panther program, Minister Malcolm X program, the RNA program, Republic of New Africa, the Morris Science Program, any of the organizations that came with a program to present to the black community, they all centered around being free, freeing the slave, gotta be free, okay? So we have to work to be free, first in your mind, first freeing your mind, undoing the shackles of 400 plus years of servitude to a mainstream establishment, a power structure that has not benefited you. Then we move towards self-determination. We move towards being able to determine our own destiny in our own black nation and community. And we live with the high spiritual moral code of our ancestors. See? Got to get back. How was they able to get liberation before in Haiti or Haiti and other areas in Kenya? How were they able to do that? They had to call on their ancestors. They called on the ancestors, and when they called on the ancestors and moved in the ancestral path, they were able to make strides towards freedom. Busy in North America running around calling on the gods of your enemy and the gods of your oppressor and the spiritualities of your oppressors. Talking about you ain't free, wondering why you ain't free, because you're living in the way that your oppressor taught you to live. You can't expect an oppressor to give you that which is going to free you. Impossible. Impossible. There's no oppressor who will teach the oppressed how to get free. So when we say in all power to the people, and if your specific determination is power specifically to black people, if you own black power to black people, then you have to be able to raise the black community. Pick up the black community. Got to go back to the basics, getting all spooked out. You're getting on all these high sciences, but you don't want to talk about freedom. You don't want to talk about self-determination. You don't want to talk about full employment for our people. You don't want to talk about decent housing fit for the sheltered human being. You don't want to talk about being able to heal yourself with health care, preventative, and maintenance. Getting on all these high sciences. But you don't want to tackle ending drug trafficking in our neighborhoods. You don't want to tackle the chemical warfare targeted at our people and marketed at our people through consumerism, fast food restaurants and whatnot. You don't want to talk about why we have to organize against the brutality and murder of black people by rogue law enforcement agencies and others, and ending black-on-black violence, not putting up with it, not protesting it, not picketing, not lighting candles and fireworks, but ending black-on-black violence. You don't want to talk about that. You don't want to talk about that. You want to get up in all these high sciences. Some of you want to try to wish things away. You want to act like it don't exist. Some of you happy with the way things are. See? Remember that. When the slave was trying to get free, there were those on the plantation who were happy with the way things were. And they could not wait to go and tell the slave master that the field slaves were organized and get the hell up off the plantation. Some are out here happy with the way things are. But there are enough who are dissatisfied, who ain't with it, who don't like it, that if we would organize amongst ourselves, we can make serious strides and serious changes among our own community. And again, you know, here on the Dare to Struggle Network, you know, we cover much on all oppressed people. You know we do. But there has to be specific conversation and specific focus on the black community. For those who work among the black community, there got to be some specific focus on the black community. Because look, I don't care where you go in the world, who you are, you know, if you got two pairs of eyes, the black community is in most need of help. I don't care what the social dynamic is. Normally you see the white or light skin on top, and you'll see the darker or black on the bottom. This is a problem. Anybody of good faith, good character, good will, who believes in justice and who believes in truth and reciprocity, you should have a problem with this. They struggled in South Africa to end the system of apartheid, yet apartheid exists institutionally throughout the world. Institutionally throughout the world, apartheid exists, but you struggled. I know brothers who struggled in them jungles to end apartheid, but it still exists institutionally throughout the world, and people have accepted that the black may always be on the bottom. So we who are organizers and people of good faith and goodwill, we don't accept that. We don't accept that just because someone is darker hue or has a dark complexion or brown complexion that we have to be on the bottom of the social ladder of civilization. And so what we are telling and encouraging, in particular the black community, and the allies of the black community, to do a struggle for black people, and not in a superficial way. I have to say that, not in a superficial way and not in a reactionary way, but struggle for black people in a real way, where we go back to the basics, organizing first and foremost for the basic needs and wants of our people. The first thing we have to have is real estate, land ownership, land, bread, clothing, housing, justice, and peace. That's first. That's first. Go back to the basics. Got to have some land. Got to have bread, clothing, justice, peace. Got to have some economics. That's first. Those are just basic needs that we have to have that we don't have. We have to have it if we're going to raise up our conditions. if we're going to raise up out this situation, we're going to have to be able to pick ourselves up and get up. And we can only do it on an equal footing, an equal playing field, and then black people got to stop making excuses. Making all these goddamn excuses about why we can't do something and why something can't happen and why we can't have this and why we can't have that. And they ain't going to let you do this and they ain't going to let you do that and all this excuse making that are getting busy like the ants. You know, as an old saying, an old parable that says, study nature, you got to get busy like the ant. If you get busy like the ant just goes to work. Sometimes you'll see the ants carrying objects 3, 4, or 5 times bigger than themselves. You'll see ants working to build the mound or whatever they're trying to build with objects 3, 4, 5 times bigger than their own size. And they ain't sitting around. You don't hear the ant sitting around saying, you know, I can't pick this up. Now, this is 3, 4, 5 times my size. I can't do this. You see that little bee ant wrestle with that thing. I don't care if it's a leaf or a stick or whatever it is. You see that ant wrestle with that thing because that ant is working for its own and doing what must be done to support its own. Same thing with the wasp. Same thing with ducks. Same thing with everything in nature. It works for itself. So we've got to work for ourselves. And if you are an ally of black people and you support the black cause and the black struggle, then you support our people. Don't get in the way, but support our people in our quest to bring freedom and power to our people. So we cannot forget the lessons. Cannot forget the lessons that were taught to us and given to us by those who came before us. We organize. We invite you to struggle for the people, for freedom. Because right now, people are not free. We got the highest incarceration rate. Is that not a problem? We got the highest incarceration rate of any people. We're 12 to 13% of this entire population, yet we make up almost 70 to 80%, some sources say, of the prison industrial complex. You tell me how that is. How do you have a people who are 13% of the population, but they are 70 to 80% in prison, according to some stats. Some give a little more, a little less, but we are filling the jails up in America in an inordinate fashion. And it has a lot to do with the draconian laws, the Jim Crow era days, and the intentional profiling, racial profiling of black men and women. DWB, driving while black. Sometimes WWB, walking while black. Sometimes SWB, not SWV, but SWB, sitting while black. Sometimes it's EWB, eating while black. It's a damn shame and a disgrace, all that black people have to go through just to be able to get down the street, just to be able to go to the store, go to the wherever you're going to. There must be an organized effort to end the oppression of black people, internal and external, because we have taken on the characteristics of oppression, and we have again worked to now internalize the oppression and oppress ourselves. Got to dare to struggle. Brothers and sisters, men and women, we got to dare to struggle. Go back to the basics. Get away from all this high science, trying to be all, you know, talking about there's this one on Mars and there's this one on Neptune and we're going to link up with this intergalactical galaxies and free ourselves. You're crazy as hell. You're crazy as hell waiting on some type of interplanetary intervention when the power to change the condition is right between your ears and your own brain and your own heart. I hope I'm helping somebody tonight out here. Right between your own brain, your ears, and your own heart, the power is there. Getting back to power to the people. It's there. The answer for freedom is in our own heads. You don't have to keep on begging the mainstream and, you know, begging racist white folks. You don't have to keep begging ignorant people. You don't have to keep begging for things that you need. Just organize. We got all these groups out here, different groups, groups I'm a part of, groups that I ain't a part of. We got groups out here that if you just get busy, if we just get busy and go to work, we can make that difference. And I'm making some difference. I'm happy to say we're making some strides. But we got to do better. We got to do better. We have to, of course, always find ourselves being thankful. Find ourselves being thankful for those who came before us, who worked before we were even thought of. Because there are those who definitely worked before we were ever thought of. And we have to be thankful for ourselves today. Be thankful for yourself today. Maybe you didn't grow up in the 60s. Maybe you didn't grow up in the 70s. Maybe you didn't grow up in the 50s. Shit, you could have grew up in the 90s. You could have grew up in the 2000s. Maybe you did grow up in the 80s. Maybe you did grow up in the 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s, 20s. 10s if you're lucky. But there's still much to be done. As right now, there are prisons for profit and prisons are on the private stock market. And there are those who have invested in making sure that our children, our brothers and sisters, black men and women in particular, stay in them prison cells and fill the prison cells and the penitentiaries up of America. That's private prisons. And there's been a big growth in the privatization of prisons. Okay? There's been a big old boom in the privatization of prisons, and you'd be surprised how many with money have invested in prisons. Some of these big entertainers out here all up in invested in the prison industrial complex. So there is a invested economic reasoning to keep the crime going amongst the community. There's an economic reasoning as to why things have not changed in the way that they need to. They systemically want us to continue to fill the jails and help feed the prison industrial complex. They want to continue to be able to keep you on them bunks and them three hots and the cot and all of that. They continue to want you to be able to have to pay to be able to make a call and all this and all that because it's an economic derivative, an economic reasoning that must be dried up. We're going to have to begin to dry it up. and teach our people how not to fall victim, how not to fall victim and get caught up in the trap. You know, some of my brothers and sisters in the entertainment business have started to work, you know, in the area of trap music. That's what they call it. They call it trap music. And that's self-explanatory. You're getting caught up in the trap. You're getting caught up in the trap. You're in the trap. Some of my brothers and sisters who slang. You're talking about you slanging from the trap. Damn, if it's called a trap, why do you want to fall in the trap? Got to get our brothers and sisters up out of the trap. And so, in closing, as we bring this to a close, we've got to dare to struggle, no matter where you at, no matter what your political affiliation is, no matter what your religious preference is, no matter what your social economic status or status is, you have to dare to struggle. You've got to struggle to get about this. It ain't going to be handed to you. And I'm here to say our people have been struggling the whole time in various fashions. We have to do it in a better way. We have to do it in a better way. We're saying we are part of the black empowerment movement or black power movement. You say you're part of the liberation movement. You want the liberation and salvation of the black nation, some say. Got to do it in a better way. We got to be able to mark our progress. And so we at the intercommunal program, have put our minds together, hearts together, talents together to work on the basic needs and wants. And we cannot do it all. I'm talking about Dare to Struggle, the intercommunal programs. The program itself cannot do it all and is not here to do it all. It's not even here to do it all, not even trying to do it all. I'm going to take that all the way out the air and out your mind. From the get-go, the job here is to work on the basic needs and wants of the community. What do we basically need? We talked about that a little bit earlier. But we're here to work on the basic needs and wants because our people want much. There's so much that we need and that we have to have in order to just get a foot to move. You know how? Now, when you have a paraplegic, if you've ever known someone who's been paraplegic, if they have no motion and you see them just move a finger, that's progress. And so we want to at least be able to move a finger with the basic needs and wants of the people so that, of course, we can breathe a little easier. We don't want men and women, black men and women in particular, but men and women in general, to be having to worry about having clothes on your back, where your next meal is going to come from, or being concerned about your safety in that sense in your own communities. We want to be able, our job is to organize on whatever your basic needs are. And to put it together in a way to where it can be sustained and used for the benefit of the people. Okay, that's why we say we're intercommunal. You first heard those terms right around the 70s. And a good book that I recommend that you read on that is Revolutionary Intercommunalism and the Right of Nations to Self-Determination. That's Newton and Vladimir to put that book together, okay? Put it together. We're going to dig into that much, much more on intercommunalism and why that was the last, Newton's last stage of development, how he had went from a black nationalist stage and went into other stages, and the last stage was intercommunalism. And what that means and how it can be properly applied to today's situation, especially being in such a high technologically advanced society today. You have to automatically understand there are very few borders today. I know we say we from the East Coast, or you say you're from the West Coast, you say you're from the South, or you say you're from this place or that place, but there are very few borders today. Okay, so that means we're all connected, especially if you're on social media, you're on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or whatever the case is. Whatever the case is, you are connected. Most of us accepting friend requests from people that's all the way on the other side of the globe. So it's intercommunal. And most of us are going through the same thing, maybe in different phases and different variations, but you're going through the same thing as somebody else on the other side of the country or planet is. And so we got to be able to organize on these issues collectively to be able to solve these issues. Dare to Struggle, again, is wanting to work with, as a program, an intercommunal program, Black Student Alliances and Youth. We want to work in the areas of health. We want to work in the areas of food, drug and alcohol, substance abuse, community art and science, free clothing, prison support, free shoes, after-school tutoring, mentorship development, community nutrition, education, martial arts, legal referral, work with our seniors. We're going to develop an intercommunal paper called The Daily Struggle, Teen Council, STD Prevention, work to clean up our streets, get rid of these slumlords, and organize and develop those who are caught up in the street life and try to redirect that energy, okay, among other things. But again, just those 24 things alone take a hell of a task and take a lot for us to put together. And so we need all the support that we can get just in developing wherever we are, and in developing city to city, state to state, in conjunction with every organization of good faith, good character, the movements of good faith and good character, the people of good faith and good character 100% want to work with you. And again, you don't have to be a part of any particular organization, or you can be a part of several, you can be a part of one. But if you believe in working for the survival of the Black community and oppressed communities, and you want to organize for the basic needs and wants in that kind of collective way, then call us at 323-374-5601. It's our national number, 323-374-5601. And the email is thedaretostruggle@gmail.com. thedaretostruggle@gmail.com, 323-374-5601. Get involved and start in one or more of them activities. Okay? All right. So is it too late? From my initial analysis, it is not too late for the Black community. It's not too late at all, because we have not even properly got started. We've made some good strides. We've made some progress, some progressions, but we have not gotten to where we need to get to. And so we have roads to travel, roads to cross, and it may not always be the easiest thing, but we are built for struggle, and we are ready to struggle. We must struggle, and we must succeed. We must be successful. I want to say that in closing, that we have to have more examples of success on all levels. Okay, I'm tired of seeing, and we should be tired of seeing, the images of negativity in relation to the Black community. And again, for, you know, our brothers and sisters who are different, you know, ethnicities. This is not to exclude you, but I'm talking specifically to my people today. We should be tired of seeing the images of negativity of black men and women. And we want to be able to put pressure on these corporate controlled media outlets and also present our own platforms. Present our own platforms to be able to show our own image and to be able to show the world and show ourselves, more importantly, who we really are. Who we really are. And so dare to struggle, dare to win. I'm going to say it again, dare to struggle and dare to win. Don't forget about our political prisoners. And it is very, very real that we have men and women who have worked in various ways who, for whatever the particular reason, was or is, you know, were incarcerated and are now being held solely because of their political affiliation, stance, blase, 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 straight up. And don't forget about brothers and sisters who are in the prison industrial complex in general. And that's, again, I always say that that has nothing to do with quote-unquote guilt or innocence or guilt. It has everything to do with the ability for people to change. People can change if you have people in the right environment and you're giving them the right kind of information and discipline. People can change. People can really change. Okay? And so, I mean, you know, again, as we talked about George Washington and others, now you're talking about men and women who were criminals in England. George Washington and the founding fathers, they were criminals. They would have been considered criminals in England. But they came to this side where the red man and red woman and the original black man and black woman were and colonized the land and made a nation of their own. And from being criminals in England, they became founding fathers and respected among European nations. Think about that. Think about that. They became respected among European nations, where once among Europe, they were considered criminals. Now, why can't that be the same for black men and women, brown men and women, red men and women, yellow men and women, oppressed people? Okay? It can, the right type of stimuli, education, and discipline. Once you do, again, don't forget about your political prisoners. I want you all to make sure you take time to pick one to write to. This week we'll give you, or today we'll give you, pardon me, Brother Russell Maroon Schultz. Brother Russell Maroon Schultz, encourage you to go to his website, Russell Maroon Schultz at WordPress.com. Russell Maroon Schultz .wordpress.com. Write him. Write him. He was a former member of the BPP, former member of BLAH, and he was out there fighting in the 70s. I mean, yeah, in the late 60s, early 70s, in a very forward way for the freedom and independence of black people. And so you write him, strong warrior for our people, for the black man and black woman. And he's at Russell Maroon Schultz at AF, or let me say number sign, AF-3855. S-C-I, grateful, grapefruit. That's G-R-A-T-E-F-O-R-D, S-C-I, G-R-A-T-E-F-O-R-D, P.O. Box 224, Grapefruit, P.A., 19426-0246. That's in the U.S. Russell Maroon Schultz, number sign A as in Apple, F as in Frank, dash 3855 SCI Graterford. That's G R A T E R F O R D. Graterford. P O Box 244. I may have said it earlier. That's P O Box for clarity. 244. Graterford, PA 19426-0246 in the U.S. Free all political prisoners. And we will come back to you on Data Struggle Radio shortly. And we always come back, as we say, with the news, the latest, and with information about your political prisoners and whatever conditions exist among the communities. Again, if you want to start any of the intercommunal programs within your city, give us a call at 323-374-5601 or email us at thedaretostruggle@gmail.com. Regardless of what your affiliation is, organizational background, everybody can help to struggle. All our people can help to struggle in our own communities and to serve the basic needs and wants of our people. It's been my honor to be your host tonight. And again, we'll come back we'll have the live stream and we'll keep it moving. But y'all remember what we say, it's not too late for the black community at all. It's not too late if we make the right moves and we organize and do what we got to do. And if we dare to struggle, if we dare to struggle, we dare to win. And if we don't dare to struggle, then damn it, we don't deserve to win. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Until the philosophy, which holds one race superior and another inferior, is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until there are no